देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड हंसावतार आंसर्स क्वेश्चंस टेक्स्ट 20। दृष्ट्वा माम ते उपव्रज्य कृत्वा पाद अभिवंदनम् ब्रह्माणम् अग्रतः कृत्वा पप्रच्छुः कः भवान् इति। दृष्ट्वा मां त उपव्रज्य कृत्वा पादाभिवन्दनम् ब्रह्माणम् अग्रतः कृत्वा पप्रच्छुको भवानिति। दृष्ट्वा मां त उपव्रज्य कृत्वा पादाभिवन्दनम् ब्रह्माणम् अग्रतः कृत्वा पप्रच्छुः को भवानिति। दृष्ट्वा मां त उपव्रज्य कृत्वा पादाभिवन्दनम् ब्रह्माणमग्रतः कृत्वा पप्रच्छुः को भवानिति। दृष्ट्वा मां त उपव्रज्य दृष्ट्वा दस सीन माम मी ते दे द सेजेस उपव्रज्य अप्रोचिंग कृत्वा ऑफरिंग पाद एट द लोटस फीट अभिवंदनम ओबेसेंसेस ब्रह्माणम लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा अग्रतः इन फ्रंट कृत्वा कीपिंग पप्रच्छुः दे आस्ट क भवान हू आर यू सर इति दस। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस शिलाभाई चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन दस सीइंग मी द सेजेस प्लेसिंग ब्रह्मा इन द लीड केम फॉरवर्ड एंड वर्शिप माय लोटस फीट. Then they frankly asked me, who are you? Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, when Brahma was unable to answer the question placed by the sages, he fixed his mind in thought of the Supreme Lord. The Lord then assumed the form of Hamsa and appeared before Lord Brahma and the sages, who proceeded to inquire about the specific identity of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. At the outset, I would like to request and beg for the blessings and mercy of all the assembled Vaishnavas, so that I may be able to speak upon this spotless literature for my own purification and as a service to all the assembled Vaishnavas. So, purport is quite short. Translation says, thus seeing me, the sages, placing Brahma in the lead, came forward and worshipped my lotus feet. Then they frankly asked me, who are you? I was wondering, this is a very, one of the fundamental inquiries that a living entity can make, which Sanatana Goswami says to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? But here, the question is, who are you? So I thought, let me just see how many times this question has been asked in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who are you? Different personalities asking different personalities. Who are you? And quite interestingly, this is an inquiry which is actually even Lord Krishna encourages in the Bhagavad Gita. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and the Lord says, what is the process of gaining knowledge? He talks about tadvidhi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya. Upadekshayanti te jnanam jnanina sattva darshina. So, Srila Prabhupada translates this as, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. So, inquiry is has to be submissive. So I was just wondering where all this instance happens. So we have, like in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj, he comes up across this Brahmana who is lying down like a python. But apparently, because Prahlad Maharaj is a
Mahajan, a great devotee of the Lord, he could still recognize that spiritual spark within that personality. And he asked that question, "Who are you?" And as Krishna has promised in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Pariprasnena sevaya." So what happens by that? The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So many instances, wherever this instance happens of "Who are you?", it is followed by the transmission of knowledge. So when Prahlad Maharaj asks to this Brahmana who is lying down like a python, the result of that query or that inquiry is that we have that series of chapters, I think two or three chapters, instructions to mankind at the end of the seventh canto. Another instance, which is right at the beginning of this 11th canto, 7th chapter, where Lord Krishna is about to speak to Uddhav. And in the response to Uddhav's questions, when Lord Krishna is going to answer, he is going to answer from the discussion between Maharaj Yadu and the Avadhut Brahman. So in that situation also, the Avadhut Brahman, when Maharaj Yadu sees him, apparently he seems like an Avadhut, but Maharaj Yadu being spiritually elevated, he could see the spiritual spark. And then he asked this query, "Who are you?" So this has been a very recurring theme in the Bhagavatam. So why does somebody ask this question? In order to establish the identity, like for example now in the following series of verses, when this question is asked, "Who are you?" Then the Lord in the form of Hamsa, he will give so many answers. It is followed by so many answers in response to the one question, "Who are you?" I won't cover that because the following speakers will be. But generally, in general, when we talk to people, the first question that we ask somebody, "Who are you?" And usually the answer that you get is, "I am Mr. So and so." The answer usually given is, as we can understand from study of Srila Prabhupada's books, it is a very, very materialist answer. It's just on the bodily platform. It is just identifying the body. Or who are you? Like suppose we are traveling in some foreign country and somebody asks, "Who are you?" So the answer might be, "I am Indian." So again the identification or the answer is based on the bodily identification, that this body is Indian. It's not on the level of the soul. And here, many times, like in Bhagavatam, this question is asked, "Who are you?" Especially now, the four Kumaras are asking this question to the Lord. "Who are you?" So usually it is to establish the credibility of the personality, of how they are actually qualified. I won't say qualified, but how they are fully competent to answer the questions put forward to them. Like for example, all of us, we have gone through university education, school. So whenever parents, they want to admit their children to a school or a college, they always try to find out what is the kind of school it is. Is it affiliated to the state board or the ICSE or CBSE, or which university it is affiliated to, if it is a college. And depending upon the kind of affiliation and the kind of then why that affiliation is checked? Because that will determine what is the standard of education that is going to be imparted to their children. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say, we cannot just become doctors by reading a book. You have to go to a university, you have to go to a specific medical college which is affiliated to a university where the standard course is being taught, and then undergo the whole course of education. Then a person can become a doctor. So therefore, it has to be a bona fide institution which imparts this knowledge. So another instance which is very illustrative that comes to my mind, where this query, "Who are you?" was asked, is the pastime of King Rahuguna and Jadabharat. So when King Rahuguna, his palanquin was being carried and there was one man shot, we know the story. So his soldiers go and just catch Jadabharat, who was sitting in the fields. They see that he is strong, healthy, so he can carry the palanquin. So while he is carrying the palanquin, he is very careful about not stepping on any ants. And therefore, there is a very jerky movement of the palanquin and the king is disturbed. So he asks, why is this palanquin being shaken like this? So the other three palanquin bearers, they immediately point out, no, this new person who has just joined us, he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to carry the palanquin properly. And that is what is causing the jerky motion. It is not us. Please don't, because they are afraid of the king's anger. So King Rahuguna, he could understand that they were afraid of being punished. And he could understand that simply due to the fault of one person, the palanquin was not being carried properly. So therefore, he became a little angry, and although he was very, very advanced in political science and very experienced, his anger arose due to his inborn nature as a king. Actually, King Rahuguna's mind was covered by the mode of passion, and because his mind was covered by the mode of passion, he could not recognize that spiritual spark. Like we saw, I just said about Prahlad Maharaj recognizing the Brahmana who was lying down like a python, or Maharaj Yadu recognizing the Avadhut Brahmana for who they are. But here we see that King Rahuguna, he could not recognize. Even we see in this very pastime, in the previous verse, text 18, Prabhupada writes in the it's written in the translation that Brahma himself, who is born directly from the body of the Lord and who is the creator of all living entities within the material world, being the best of the demigods, seriously contemplated the question of his sons headed by Sanaka. The intelligence of Brahma, however, was affected by his own activities of creation, that is mode of passion. And therefore, he could not discover the essential answer to this question. Also, one other time, during the course of creation, when Brahma was affected by anger, when these very four sons refused to carry out his order and have progeny to increase the population. So at that time, again, Brahma's mind was completely clouded by anger. Brahma, being absorbed in the mode of passion, he could not check his anger. However, one saving grace, or to his credit actually, Brahma did not express the anger, because he knew that his sons were far enlightened in spiritual advancement and thus he should not express his anger before them. But still we know that anger found expression in the form of Rudra, which appeared from between his eyebrows. So anger clouds the intelligence and does not allow us to recognize things for what they are. So Rahuguna similarly was affected by anger, and therefore what happens is, he told Jadbharat, he started chastising Jadbharat, and it was a very sarcastic tone which he used, like, you know, making fun. "You appear very fatigued because you have carried this palanquin alone without assistance for a long time and for a long distance." So in spite of all this kind of provoking statements made by King Rahuguna in a very sarcastic manner, still the response which was given by Jadabharat was very much on the spiritual platform, on the platform of the soul. He correctly identifies that actually, he says, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is very true. These are not simply words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. He speaks very philosophically, very systematically. He explains how what Rahuguna has spoken is true, but it was all on the level of the spirit, nothing to do with the bodily platform. The answer was very, very intellectual, very, very on the level of the soul. So as soon as he speaks this, immediately there is a big transformation in Rahuguna. Why? As it is said in the English language, there is a saying, a fool and a wise man are not recognized until they open their mouth. There is a similar Subhashit in Sanskrit. It says, Kaka Krishna Pika Krishna Kaka Pika Ko Bhedayo. Kaka means crow and Pika means cuckoo, koel. So the crow is Krishna, that is crow is black and koel is also black. Kaka Pika Ko Bhedayo. What is difference? There is no apparent difference between a crow and a koel. Both look similar, black in color. Vasanta Samaye Prapte. However, at the time of spring, when it is springtime, summer time, at that time, what happens? You can easily distinguish between Kaka Kaka Pika Pika. You can immediately distinguish which is a crow, which is a koel. How? Because at that time, it opens its mouth. The koel starts singing. Till that time, it doesn't open its mouth, so you cannot identify. You might mistake, somebody can mistake a koel to be a crow and a crow to be a koel. Crow to be a koel is much difficult because crow doesn't require Vasanta Samaya to open its mouth. It just, always it is crowing. Crow is, but to recognize wise man, unless he speaks, it is very difficult. And Jadbharat is a classic epitome of this Subhashit. Because Jadbharat, he was also waiting to encounter the right kind of person in order to respond, in order to speak. Throughout his life, Jadbharat, he came in contact with three different kinds of people. First he met, we know he had this encounter with the dacoits. Now these dacoits were in the mode of ignorance. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to offer him as a Narabali to Mother, Goddess Kali. So they kidnapped him, bound him, and they were, you know, just about to chop his head. But in all that circumstance, he was totally indifferent. He just stood there as if, you know, he had nothing, no botheration, what they are going to do with me. Absolutely undisturbed by the circumstances around them. He did not try to preach to them. He was completely realized, self-realized, that I am not this body. So whatever they might do to the body, it's not going to affect me. Because I am the spirit soul. He was completely self-realized. But he did not try to impart that knowledge to the dacoits because he knew these are not fit candidates. They are in the mode of ignorance. Then he was with his family members. his brothers, elder brothers, and all of them, they were in the mode of passion. They just wanted to get some work done out of him. They wanted to get some work, guard these fields, do this, do that, get water, you know, just get to do work. So even in their presence, even though he was of a very elevated consciousness, of a very elevated intelligence, he did not ever reveal what was his level of intelligence, what was his level of consciousness. He just kept quiet. But here, so therefore, he was not recognized for who he was. Even though his father, he performed Upanayan Samskar for Jadabharat. And he tried to teach him the Vedic scriptures and this. But still he never showed any of this. So his elevated position as a person who has realized the soul was never revealed to all these individuals. But here, Vasanta Samaye Prapte, Kaka Kaka Pika Pika. Here when he opened his mouth in front of Rahuguna and he started speaking and how he justified everything what Rahuguna had spoken. Rahuguna had just spoken sarcastically, but he justified and he said, you spoke correctly. But the answer was such that it was totally on the spiritual platform, not on the bodily platform. And Rahuguna could immediately understand that I am in the presence of a very elevated personality. So when Rahuguna chastised the exalted devotee Jadabharat with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all. First of all, he tolerated it and replied properly. So when this happened, this response came. So when he spoke like this, at that time, Maharaj Rahuguna, who had great faith in the discussions of the Absolute Truth, and he heard from Jadabharat the philosophical presentation, he immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground at the lotus feet. And then he said, what did he say to Jadabharat? This is very interesting. O Brahmana, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahmana and a saintly person? I see that you are wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted, liberated saints such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced learned scholars? May I ask, whose disciple are you? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. So, a somewhat similar situation arises in the first canto when Sukadeva Goswami, he appeared at the banks of the Ganges, where all the saintly personalities from around the world and Parikshit Maharaj have assembled. And Sukadeva Goswami arrives there. And Prabhupada writes a very nice series of verses are there in Bhagavatam, which are very interesting. Again, at that moment, there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who travelled over the earth disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest, just like Jadabharat, he did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or social status of life. He was surrounded by women and children and he dressed as if others had neglected him. He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy, and so they honored him by rising from his seats. So this is another example where when Sukadeva Goswami walks into this arena where all the sages and the kings from around the world and Parikshit Maharaj, they have assembled. So what happens there? the assembled sages and the kings, they honor him by rising from their seats. The sage Shukdev Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer. And the great devotee Maharaj Parikshit approached him, offered his respects, bowing down before him, politely inquiring with sweet words and folded hands. So therefore, this is very interesting. This is something which is like, we always say this, that Bhagavad Gita is like ABCD and Srimad Bhagavatam is graduate study. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshayanti te jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. And we see an enactment of that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in this situation when Shukadeva Goswami comes there, Parikshit Maharaj, he approaches him, pranipatena, offers his respects by bowing down before him. Then pariprasnena politely inquires with sweet words and folded hands. And the result of such tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya is followed by Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada writes very interesting statements in the purports to both these verses, tadvidhi pranipatena and this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj approaches Shukadeva Goswami and surrenders to him and asks him to, inquires from him. So Prabhupada says in the Tadvidhi Pranipatena verse, the purport, nor by independent mental speculation or dry arguments cannot lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So there is no, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam Purport, there is no necessity for approaching a spiritual master unless one is in need of solving the problems of life. So there is a, we have to first then therefore understand what are the problems of life. Because in today's day and age, if you ask somebody what is the problem of life, then people have different problems of life. Signal nahi aata hai. Tower hi nahi milta hai. Call drop hota hai. I mean, if these are the problems of life, then I think 15 years ago people were very happy because these problems did not exist. There is no cell, no tower, no call drop. These problems did not exist. Internet ka speed bahut slow hai. These are the problems, people. And these newer and newer problems will continue to rise because these are all temporary problems. As Prabhupada has instructed us, problems are those which are common to everyone and which nobody wants them, but nobody can avoid them. That is a problem. That is the definition of problem, which is common to every personality. Every person this problem will face. That is the problem of life. And nobody wants that problem in life, but nobody can avoid it. Everybody has to face it. That is a problem. And therefore, there are only four things which qualify as a problem in any person's life. Birth, death, old age and disease. All these four things, they qualify according to the definition that is given. What is that? First is birth, death, old age and disease. First definition is, it is common to everyone. Can anybody say here that they are not born? And can anyone here claim that they will never die ever? Can anyone claim that they have never had ill health? Or they have never experienced disease? Or they have not experienced, or they may not, they will never experience old age? This is something which is common to everyone, and nobody wants them. Nobody wants to grow old. That is why you have the entire cosmetic industry, the hair coloring industry, the facelift industry, the hair transplant industry. Many of our devotees also are involved. But still, these industries are all proof that nobody wants old age. Nobody wants old age, nobody wants disease. The entire health industry, medical industry is just focused on keeping everybody healthy. So nobody wants to be diseased, and of course nobody wants to die. But the reason why nobody wants to die, that why that kind of a feeling is there, even though everybody knows that I am going to die, so there is every product, like Krishna says, the original statement, Jatasya hi dhruvor mrityur dhruvor janma mrityasya cha. Every product that is created will come with an expiry date. It's not something which is invented by the modern packaging industry, that you know, you have a production date and an expiry date. That is originally given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So this, every product comes with an expiry date. So, when this is known to everybody, Yudhishthira Maharaj tells the Yaksha in one of his answers, what is the most astonishing thing in the world? Even though everybody knows, Hani Hani Bhutani Gacchanti Ha Yamalayam, everybody sees that so many people around us are going to the abode of Yama every day. At every moment, so many people are going to the abode of Yama, they are dying. But still, Shesha Sthavaram Ichchanti, the remaining population is thinking that this will not happen to me. I will remain permanent. Kim Ascharyam Ataparam, what can be more astonishing than this? So why is it that people have this kind of a thought? Why is it that people have this kind of an expectation or they want to live eternally? Because we are eternal. And we will understand this and appreciate it when we will understand that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. When we realize this. Right now we don't have the realization, we don't accept or we don't even know that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. But that spirit soul is there within the body, and therefore being eternal, because we are identifying with the body, we feel that the body should also remain eternal, which is not possible. So coming back to this, the inquiries should be, there is no necessity of approaching a spiritual master unless one is in need of solving the problems of life. Prabhupada says in the purport to the Bhagavatam verse. And this is what we have to focus on. One who, like Prabhupada, somebody had come to meet Prabhupada and they told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, actually, you know, when I go and meet this, I met this sadhu, and when I touched him, I got an electric shock. Prabhupada said, why you need to go to sadhu for an electric shock? Just go and put your finger in that electric socket and you will get electric shock. This is not the purpose of going to meet a sadhu. A sadhu is not supposed to fulfilling all this. Like one time, Prabhupada was traveling in India and a group of businessmen came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And these businessmen, they all were saying, Prabhupada, give us your blessings, give us your blessings. No, they were saying, we are so much troubled by all this business and so many this. Please give us your blessings that we will, our troubles will decrease. Prabhupada said, no problem. You give me your business, I will give you my blessings. And all your troubles will get over. You just give me all your businesses. But that they were not ready for. So therefore, one who does not know how to put questions before the spiritual master has no business seeing the spiritual master. So, like, even though we know what is the question, or we may be right, like this very famous statement I always remember by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He says, even if what you say is right, if you don't say it right, it is wrong. So therefore, submission and the right mood, these are the keys. So therefore, whenever a person inquires, two things are needed. First of all, he has to be totally surrendered and in the right mood. The queries may be correct, but if the mood is not there, then it will not work. And if the mood is there, but the question is like, you know, so many people came to meet Prabhupada, but they were all focused only on solving their material problems. They may come very submissively, very humbly, but they don't want what Prabhupada wanted to give them. Rather, they wanted what they wanted. So both are needed. The submissive attitude, at the same time, correct inquiries. So in the presence, when both are there, unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. So therefore, we see from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, in so many instances, which we discussed today, like between Maharaj Rahuguna and Jadbharat, then I just touched upon Prahlad Maharaj talking to the Brahmana who is lying down like a python, or King Yadu talking to Avadhut Brahmana, which comes out with all the information about the 24 gurus. So when this statement is like the concluding statement, it says that when the student is submissive and is ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. And out of such perfect reciprocation, the knowledge that is churned out, that is for the good of the entire society. So therefore, we should always understand that this, whenever somebody asks this question, especially we read this question in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who are you? It is always followed by the a flow of knowledge which is beneficial both to the listener and to the reader. So many instances we will find in Srimad Bhagavatam, and every instance is followed by wonderful nectarian knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how do we approach Him, how do we serve Him. So I will end here. If somebody has any comments, any questions. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय. शैल प्रभुपाद की जय. ये बंद